Behalf of Father DiMartino, Father Belli, and in my own name, I want to wish you all a blessed and joyous Easter. St. Paul writes in this first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, I quote, "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that He raised Christ." The resurrection is, in fact, the foundation of the entire Christian faith. Our entire faith rises or falls on the truth of the testimony that Christ is, in fact, risen from the dead. But let's consider for a moment if we took that away. We took away the fact of the resurrection just for a moment. It might be possible to piece together from our tradition of Catholicism of 2,000 years a series of interesting ideas about God and men, about man's very being and his moral obligations, a kind of religious worldview or a religious philosophy. But the Christian faith itself, without the resurrection, would be dead. Our Lord would have been a failed religious leader who, in spite of this failure on Good Friday, remains great and can cause us to reflect. But then, the problem is, he would be only human. And his authority would extend only so far as we found his message of interest to ourselves. Jesus himself would no longer be the standard of life and death. The only standard would be our own judgment of picking and choosing those things about his life that we find useful. Our own judgment would be the only standard upon which we could rely. So it's important to remember this morning that the resurrection cannot be regarded simply as an event. The resurrection is the event in world history. Allow me to illustrate it with an example. Over the years, I've had the privilege of visiting the Holy Land a half a dozen times. And each time that we go to the Holy Land and I take a pilgrimage group, one of the highlights, as you can imagine, is the offering of Holy Mass at 4 a.m. in the tomb, literally saying Mass over the very place where our Lord was resurrected. On the first day that we arrive in Jerusalem, we cannot do that because the queues, the lines are too long, and there are no masses held in the afternoon when we usually arrive. So what I do is I take the pilgrims behind the Holy Sepulchre, the tomb, and there's a little area there where you can go and pray. And I gather all 12 of my pilgrims next to the wall at the back of the tomb, behind it, and I ask each of them to put their hands on the tomb, and then to put their foreheads on the tomb. And then I remind them of a fact that they perhaps take for granted. However, whatever happened on the other side of this wall changed the course of human history forever. Imagine the world without knowledge of the resurrection. The entire Western civilization as we know it would not exist as we know it, for it is in fact the story of the church. So I remind the pilgrims that, theologically speaking, the tomb is the theological center of the universe. The tomb is the theological center of the universe. For everything that has occurred in the universe and in creation was geared around this single moment, the most important moment in world history. So we ask ourselves, what actually happened? After all, even the apostles, the gospel tells us this morning, did not understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The experience of the resurrection mostly overwhelmed the apostles at first. Imagine just 2 weeks prior to the resurrection on Mount Tabor, Peter, James, and John descended from that mountain having seen our Lord transfigured in glory, still questioning what rising from the dead could mean. We do know that the resurrection was not, I repeat, a resuscitation of a dead corpse. The resurrection was not a resuscitation of a dead corpse. Many think that. That is wrong. The resurrection is entirely different than what happened to what Jesus did to Lazarus, for example, whom he raised from the dead. Because what would happen to Lazarus eventually? He would die. But our Lord's own existence transcends now death itself. And so it's important to remember that this new mode of life, this new form of life, opens us up to an entirely new dimension. We know from the resurrection accounts in the Gospels that Jesus could walk through solid objects. He could appear and disappear at a moment's notice. His body was glorious and luminous. And yet, he assured his apostles on Easter Sunday night when he appeared to them that he was not a ghost. They put his hand into his side and probed the nail marks with their fingers. He wanted to be sure that they knew. He even ate in front of them. And he conversed and ate with them as any man would. This was very unexpected for the apostles, something that they were very slow to adjust to and, in fact, to understand. A week after the resurrection, Jesus will deride the apostles for their slowness of understanding. But what was so strange for the apostles, and perhaps something that we've become numb and inured to over time, is that in front of the apostles, the resurrected Christ was living in a new dimension of existence. He was living in a way that they had never seen before. And so imagine, in time and space, in their own human experience, they were giving a vision, almost peering into the universe, a new mode of living. And if there's a new mode of living out there, there must be life beyond. This, of course, is what the church has testified to. We are witnesses of this fact now for 2,000 years. So as members of his church, we too are called to testify to this most awesome reality. He is truly risen. He lives and reigns with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit. His empty tomb is now a sign of hope. That which remained unconquerable, sin and death, have both been defeated. The Christian life is, at least in part, is a call to witness to one another and to the world, to bend the knee at the name of the only one who could and has saved us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. All praise and glory to him, now and forever. Amen.
Alleluia.